When I was practicing mainstream medicine and I was working in psychiatry at the time, you know, I realized that people were not getting better, and I had seen this in cancer medicine earlier in my career, and I began to find out about natural healing. I finally kind of put two and two together, had like an epiphany moment when I realized that all the things that I had learned about that were successful helping people not only supported the terrain, but actually were different ways of facilitating the body's detox mechanisms. And many, many clients that have learned these from me have had just amazing health results.
Welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams. And, you know, we talk about the virus theory versus terrain theory a lot. That's a hotly debated topic. And one of the experts that we often interview and refer to on that is Dr. Andrew Kaufman. But he also has areas of knowledge far beyond just that debate, but also about once you understand the terrain theory of how disease comes about, its true origins and its true prevention strategies, then you understand the importance of focusing on improving your terrain to automatically reject states of disease. And he joins us today. Dr. Andrew Kaufman, welcome to the show. I look forward to talking with you about this.
Yeah, same here. Thanks so much for inviting me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. And I also want to thank you. You have created a very informative multi-part docuseries that we'll be streaming for free coming up soon at brightu.com. We'll talk about those details later on. But give us your take, kind of the big picture. Why did you think it was important to teach this course about terrain theory, or it's not the theory, but terrain workshops of how people can use this knowledge to protect and enhance their health?
Well, Mike, what happened is that when I was practicing mainstream medicine and I was working in psychiatry at the time, you know, I realized that people were not getting better. And I had seen this in cancer medicine earlier in my career. And I began to find out about natural healing. And I started, you know, studying various people who had a successful track record. And I didn't know what all of these procedures that they put people through had in common until later on, when after I uncovered the fallacies of germ theory, I wondered, you know, what's really causing health problems? And of course, I was introduced to some of the aspects of the terrain model, like pleomorphism, from looking at the work of Bechamp, for example. And I finally kind of put two and two together, had like an epiphany moment when I realized that all the things that I had learned about that were successful helping people not only supported the terrain, but actually were different ways of facilitating the body's detox mechanisms. And this was, you know, a major breakthrough in my understanding, and it helped me really hone the procedures that people can use to help their bodies heal. And many, many clients that have learned these from me have had just amazing health results. In fact, many of the conditions, if not all, that are said or that I was taught, you know, in medical school as being incurable, lifelong conditions that we could just basically manage, turns out the body can completely reverse those conditions. It's quite astonishing and quite simple to help your body achieve.
See, that's very profound, what you're saying right there. And I know that your docuseries, your course, really gives a lot more detail on this. We'll talk about that coming up. But, you know, Western medicine, obviously, is still based on the germ theory. And most people, most consumers of Western medicine, still just automatically by default believe in that they think that, oh, I quote, got cancer, as if like something gave it to me. And then I quote, have cancer and I have to get rid of it. You know, it's in the language. You're a psychiatrist, you understand the power of language, but the way people talk to themselves about disease or health is part of the problem, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think cancer is a great example to think about that, because what is the medical name for chemotherapy is called cytotoxic therapy.
Right, because, admit it right there.
Yeah, these chemicals, right, are actually poisoning the cells. Now, they, of course, will tell you that, yes, they poison the cancer cells, but we're talking about killing and poisoning in order to heal. It's sort of, a little bit of a paradox as to why you would even think that could be successful.
Well, right, but continue, if you would, please, about my point that people still use the language that promotes, because, you know, we're talking about terrain theory, but also there's mind-body medicine, which is part of this, and people's beliefs, which is expressed through their language, defines their own experience of health versus disease. And I got to thank you too, Dr. Kaufman, because it was your teaching of me that allowed me to completely change my worldview about germ theory. And ever since I changed my worldview, I've never been infected with germs. It's never happened since. So it's just like, wow, you mean we could actually make a change in our understanding? But then again, I do have a healthy lifestyle, of course, that I have healthy terrain, et cetera. But talk to us about the power of the paradigm.
Well, you know, you've hit on a key aspect, and there's a number of ways you can look at this. Of course, you know, if you worry and think a lot about something, that thing is more likely to be true. And that could be in a positive way too, right? If we are obsessively thinking about succeeding in, you know, an athletic endeavor or in a business endeavor, we're more likely to succeed, right? Because we pay more attention to it, we do more things to serve that goal, and it's more likely to come about. And this can have negative connotations as well, and especially when there is fear involved. And, you know, I think one of the aspects we could talk about this is the nocebo effect. And this is kind of the opposite of the placebo effect, where we have a belief or a faith in something that it's going to benefit us, and then we realize that benefit, even if the thing itself is not even possible to cause that, right? And I'll give you, you know, an example of saline, right? Salt water. If we believe that we're being given a drug that's going to be really helpful, but we're really just given salt water, we can actually show a benefit in scientific studies. But the opposite is also true. If we believe that we're receiving a substance that's harmful, but we still only get salt water, we can actually have the harmful effects from it. So one example of this was a study done with cancer patients, actually, and they were told they were being given chemotherapy, but were just given saline. And not only did they experience nausea and vomiting after being administered the salt water, but some of them even lost their hair.
Wow.
In other experiments, we know that putting salt water in a nasal spray can actually produce cold symptoms. So without any germs involved, I'm talking about sterile medical grade saline. So it's a very powerful aspect that our beliefs and our psychological state can have a huge, huge effect on even our physical health.
Absolutely. So then when you talk about the terrain in your workshops, and let me mention, this starts airing, by the way, April 11th at brightu.com. You can register right now, sign up for it. It's free to view, or you can optionally purchase it and download it ahead of time and have all the files locally and watch it on your own schedule, or you can watch it for free. But when you teach terrain, Dr. Kaufman, I know you talk about water, you talk about food, you talk about micronutrients and minerals, but do you consider the psyche also part of the terrain?
Yes, absolutely. It's critical. You know, in mainstream Western medicine, we have this false separation of the mental and psychological from the physical. And even when they think about mental illness, for example, they believe it has a physical cause. And so, like, when they look at stroke patients and they show that they have a tendency to be depressed, they think, well, the stroke caused damage in the brain and that led to them being depressed, rather than perhaps they just lost function They face their own mortality. They could have an existential crisis. You know, let's talk about those more realistic interactions. And no matter what, there's really very, very minimal thought put into the bi-directional relationship between our mental or psychological, or I like to call it psycho-spiritual experience, and our physical health. But there are, you know, excellent examples in many different ways these can interact that would affect your healing. Like one simple thing is if you want to try to change your lifestyle to become more healthy, that could uncover psychological issues. For example, you could have a food addiction that could be based in childhood trauma, even. And in fact, there is a wealth of information showing that childhood sexual trauma is highly correlated with extreme obesity in adults. And there are many other examples, and I think cancer is a really important example, that there almost always is a strong psychological component related to cancer. And in fact, in some cases, it could be the primary component. And there are people who were able to completely heal from cancer, and there are many documented cases of this, only or predominantly by doing psychological work. Now, I don't recommend isolating psychological work or physical work. I think it's always important to address both, but this relationship is completely discounted in Western medicine.
I'm glad you said that both are really important to consider, because I'm a big believer in that as well. And I want to ask you about heavy metals versus nutritive minerals, including, let's say, trace minerals like zinc or selenium or copper, which has a very narrow window of efficacy, but then toxicity at higher doses, including, I believe, some psychiatric effects. But I want you to talk about that, because, and let me just set it up, because I've seen people go to counselors year after year after year, trying to deal with a problem that's clearly linked to exposure to toxic metals and toxic foods. So it's like, hey, you know what? You could save thousands of dollars and years of time, clean up your diet as you go to the counselor. You know what I mean? Do both, but don't forget about cleaning up your intake here. But please talk to us about metals versus nutritive minerals.
Yeah. So, and I know, you know, that, poisonous or toxic heavy metals is an area that you're especially interested in. And we, of course, our body needs metals, not mercury, lead, and arsenic, but we do need zinc, like you mentioned. And it is possible, of course, to have too much of a good thing and also to have zinc in a form that's not biologically compatible, like in a form that's made in a chemical factory versus what's provided by nature. And, you know, you must realize, too, that virtually any substance in the wrong amounts can become a problem for our health, or even poisonous, even something like water. And it's hard to get too much water, but it is possible, and I have seen it in a clinical condition, and it can actually kill you. So we definitely don't want to overdo these things, but what I think is the more common problem is that we generally are exposed to heavy metals through many sources, which could, of course, be air pollution. It could be chemicals on things that we interact with, like something like pressure-treated lumber, for example, uses arsenic compounds. We could get it from pharmaceuticals, including immunizations, and we can get it from food. And there is a phenomenon that is well documented in the research literature, and I call it toxic metal substitution. And this occurs when we have not enough of a mineral that our body wants, but we do have a heavy metal present that has some similar chemistry. And one example of this that has been shown in experimental studies is between zinc and lead. Now, these metals that are nutritionally vital for us, like zinc and many others, they work or they what they do in the body is that they form metalloproteins. So the proteins, which are the workhorses of all the functions in our body, many of them, in fact, definitely more than half, no one really knows exactly what percentage, but they require these metal cofactors. So with zinc, one of the most common zinc metalloproteins are called zinc fingers. And these are areas of a protein where zinc is in a binding site in the protein. And this is where these proteins bind DNA, for example, or they're said to bind DNA. Now, if we have even a small deficiency in zinc, but we happen to have some lead exposure, of which there are many sources, including drinking water, our body could substitute the lead in the zinc finger and, you know, still have some function, but not nearly as good a function as if the zinc were present. So heavy metals can cause damage to our tissues. You know, it's normally thought through oxidative pathways, but they can also decrease the function of our proteins, including enzymes, by this toxic metal substitution. So even if we try to use, let's say, chelating substances to remove lead from our body, if there's not enough zinc around, the lead is going to stay there because it preserves some degree of function, even though it's harmful overall. And some of these substitutions, when they test the activity of an enzyme, for example, they find that it's only a fraction of the activity of if it has the proper mineral. So it's really important if you're trying to help your body purge toxic heavy metals, you also have to make sure that somehow you get the right minerals in the right amounts in your body so that your body does not want to hold on to them in this way.
See, that's really critical. I'm glad you brought that up because I mean, as you know, I run a mass spec lab and we test lots and lots of foods and substances. And I've been trying to explain to people for many years that there's some amount of lead in many, many common foods, including chocolate bars, you know, cacao. There's cadmium in coffee. There's usually lead in turmeric and a lot of these spices. By the way, the spice rack is like a lead mine. By the way,
yes. I recently reviewed some research on that, and there are very few trustworthy brands for herbs and spices.
Yeah, it's true. And the thing is, you know, a lot of these spices come from, let's say, India or Turkey or wherever. And I'm not blaming those countries, but they are agricultural products that take in what's in the soil, right? And if there's lead in the soil, those plants will uptake that and incorporate it into their tissues, and that's, you know, in the lab industry, we call that incurred lead, just like you can have incurred glyphosate, whatever. But my point is, which is about your course, Terrain, the workshops, is that we have to constantly support our detoxification that is natural, that's intrinsic to our bodies, because you can't live lead-free in this world, period. It doesn't happen. None of us can. So we constantly have to detoxify. So can you speak to the importance of that constant, daily, habitual, you know, the health habits that detoxify naturally?
Yes. Well, you know, this is something that is really present in many ancient cultures. Like, they knew this. And the spring, the time we're in right now, is the most traditional time that you find this, right? And fasting is one of the most common practices that you will find across cultures, because we can go out into the animal kingdom and observe animals fasting when they get sick and injured. And that provides an obvious model. And what we're doing really with fasting, in my opinion, is that we are removing the need for all the digestion resources, because it turns out it takes a lot of the body's resources to process and digest food. And if we temporarily remove that and allow the body to focus on other things like healing, we can have excellent results. So I kind of look at this overall issue as there are two states of health that you could be in, right? You could have health problems, and they could be you know, very mild and even subtle and confused with things that we say are just part of aging, all the way up into, you know, serious life-threatening illnesses. Now, in all those conditions, the best approach is to do a full protocol to stimulate your body, to kind of have a reset back to health. And a lot of that is going to be around facilitating your body's removal of these toxic substances that we're ubiquitously exposed to. And another aspect of it is going to be to take in the proper nutrition so that your body has all the resources to do the healing that's desired. Now, once you're in a good state of health, then you would be in what I would call the maintenance phase, which I think is what you're mostly referring to in this question. And I think, of course, it's important to have as clean a lifestyle as possible on a day-to-day basis. And that doesn't just include what you eat and drink, although, of course, those things are of utmost importance, but also your home environment, the things that touch your skin, the hygiene and beauty products that you use, the air you breathe, and you know, whether you put chemicals on your lawn and many, many other things. So you want to live as pure and clean and natural a lifestyle as possible in the modern industrial world, realizing that we can't control exposure to everything. And then from that perspective, once you've achieved that, then you can do a periodic cleansing ritual. And this doesn't need to be a full, you know, 30-day or 3-month protocol. It could be a 3 to 7 day fast, for example. It could be, you know, doing coffee enemas, you know, 1 weekend a month, or doing them for 2 weeks, you know, every 6 months. So kind of like a mini protocol. And this kind of practice, and it's going to be, you know, unique for every individual, depending on the demands you put on your body and the particular exposure to these untoward substances, but I think that's the kind of approach that will maintain your health and longevity as much as possible.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I also, I want to ask you to talk more about the daily routines. And let me just remind the audience here that your course will be available streaming for free on brightu.com. That's the letter U, like university. brightu.com, beginning April 11th. It's called Terrain, the Workshops, Natural Healing by Andrew Kaufman, and it's free with registration, or you can optionally purchase it and download it then immediately upon purchase. So I believe, and you know, feel free to disagree with me. You know, you're the guest today, so whatever you think is appropriate, but I think it's important to sweat. And so I make a point, you know, I exercise, I jog, and I like to jog with some heat, actually, like with, you know, a hot day. I live in Texas, so that's pretty easy. And I intentionally jog and sweat. And on top of that, I never use any kind of store-bought personal care products. I don't use their deodorant, their shampoo, their lotions. I don't use sunscreen at all, but I'm in the sun almost every day. I don't get sunburned. I don't use their garbage. I don't use their crap laundry detergent either. And as a result, I feel like this is the way to do it, is don't poison your skin, but let your skin expel whatever toxins it wants to on a regular basis. Does that make sense? Or do you think I've gone wrong in some area there?
I think we have a pretty similar lifestyle, Mike. Sweating is an amazing, you know, process that our body goes through. And I want to even broaden that out a little bit, because anytime you observe something coming out of your body, that is your natural detox mechanisms. Now, with sweat, perspiration, which, you know, is an integral part, actually, of my heavy metal protocol, which is part of the natural healing course, because it's been shown in many research studies that metals come out in the sweat. And it's not just metals. Other toxins come out of your body as well, like some of the plasticizing chemicals, for example. Almost any toxin that's water soluble in the body will come out in the sweat. And interestingly, in the skin, we have a sort of backup system for the liver. The acute and the phase one and phase two enzymes that we have in the liver, which are our body's mechanism of processing foreign chemicals that enter our body into something our body can deal with and excrete, is partly duplicated in the skin. In fact, this is so much so that even in the pharmaceutical industry, they have tried or created models using skin cell cultures to give them information about how the liver would deal with pharmaceuticals, because it's an easier experiment to do to test these new pharmaceutical drugs. So our skin is very good at processing these substances and very good at excreting them. And, you know, we in our modern lifestyle, we do a lot of things to avoid sweating. We look at it as an inconvenience. You know, we're not doing physical labor. We're not outdoors as much. And of course, exposure to the sun is also very important. So I am fully in support of sweating. I do this on a regular basis as well. I have, you know, a workout program, and also I have some land, so I'm out there doing various types of things to work up a good sweat. And of course, remember that all that bad stuff is coming out in the sweat, so you do want to wash off after. You want to change your clothes and not sit with that sweat on your skin. But it is a really key mechanism that our bodies have, and probably part of the reason why people accumulate chronic illness is because they don't participate in those simple natural mechanisms like sweating.
There's a fear of sweating among many, especially Westerners today. They're afraid to sweat. They buy literal antiperspirants. I mean, think about that. It's to block your sweat. I mean, it's just extraordinary. And also think about it, home construction, especially since about the late 1970s, really moved away from natural open ventilation to closed boxes that are air conditioned. The climate is entirely controlled. And, you know, it's funny, you may appreciate this, but even though, of course, I have air conditioning too, I change the temperature based on the seasons. So in the summer months, I keep my air conditioner at about 80. And then, you know, in the winter, I will allow myself to only heat when it drops below about 62 Fahrenheit, something like that. So I'm compromising, you know, I'm semi-controlling my environment, but I'm letting my body feel the difference between summer and winter, even indoors. And of course, I'm outdoors a lot either way, but I think I'm the only person who does that, because everybody else is like, no, it's crazy. I just set it on 75 all year. That's it. You know?
Well, you know, I remember as a kid visiting my grandparents in Florida, and my grandfather, who, you know, grew up during the Depression era, he would refuse to turn the air conditioning on at all. And it'd be difficult to sleep at night because you're drenched
yeah,
in sweat.
True.
So I'm sure you're not that extreme, Mike,
no.
But, you know, a big part of why we're suffering from a lot of health issues compared to the past is because we're not in the natural environment. We have climate control, right? We have electric lighting and a 24-hour work cycle. And so the more you can get back to nature, the better off your body will be. So what I do is I actually... you know, is starting really this time of year when it's not, you know, freezing cold, I work outside. I'm fortunate enough to work from home, and I don't do these kind of interviews and have an outdoor studio, but I really go out on the back porch and do all my work. So I'll be, you know, sweating when it's hot out. I'll be moving out into the sun and back to the shade. To balance that out, be breathing fresh air the whole time I'm working. And that just makes a huge difference, you know, to
Absolutely.
How I feel. And, you know, I almost don't like going back into the house.
Yeah, no, I know the feeling. I have now spent 1 year working out with my gymnasium, which is in a forest on my property. And I just have, I have a collection of kettlebells and pull-up bars and dips bars and push-up bars just sitting there in the forest. And I, it's the best thing ever. And I only can work out outside now. And I've only missed 2 days in the whole year due to weather. Only 2 days. Because I don't care if it's cold.
Well, now you live in Texas, though, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's not fair. I'm up in the tundra.
Yeah, that would be different. Yeah, absolutely. But I did do kettlebells with gloves on one day. It was so cold, but I wouldn't want to do that frequently. Anyway, I want to remind people again, the course, which begins streaming April 11th, is called Terrain, the Workshops, Natural Healing by Andrew Kaufman. It's available free with registration. One episode streams each day on a repeated loop beginning April 11th. Or you can optionally purchase the whole course and download it and support Dr. Kaufman's work as well as supporting our platform. And you can sign up at brightyou.com. Now, this is the conclusion of part one of our interview with Dr. Kaufman. And we're going to continue in part two. We're going to be talking about pine trees and turpentine and natural medicine and why it is always bashed by conventional medicine. That's in part two. You'll be able to find that at brightvideos.com. So thank you for watching part one of our interview. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.